We're live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new Ike Live. This is the first show of 2022. Hope you're having a great night. Saturday night. What's everybody doing out there, Dave, tonight, you think? Watching football? What are they doing at home? Just doing that?
Maybe they got the game on the big TV and they got their phone on with the Ike Live. I don't know.
People still watch that game, huh?
Yeah, dude. Apparently they do, man. Wow. I didn't even know the Birds were playing tonight. So.
Well, they're playing Dallas. The game is meaningless, right? Except for momentum. And
I'm not besmirching people that watch it. I really miss the days, Brian, when we would all go to the bar and be in on it and actually care. I miss the days.
What happened, Dave?
Well, what happened was we realized it wasn't just the Clintons killing people. A whole lot of other stuff was going on. That's what happened, dude.
I think you're right.
Yeah, everyone realized it ain't just the Clintons murdering people over bad land deals. It's like a whole bunch more going on, and that's what wrecked it for me.
Me too.
There's other stuff happening. There's a lot of other stuff happening in the world, like Bill Taylor officially retired. Wow. Congrats to Bill Taylor. What a great career over there at MLF FLW. Man, that was awesome. Yeah. We love Bill Taylor.
He's a great guest on Ike Live.
He's been a great guest.
Channeled through Swindle and Luke Duncan.
Yeah, right. A lot
we actually did have the real.
We had the real one on.
Did we?
Here was my question, Pete. So he just retired. How early is too early to ask Bill to come on and then spill some dirt? You know, because like Tripp. He has to have great stories from his decades of being, you know, tournament director. He's got to have great stories, you know?
Yeah, but he ain't telling them.
He might.
He's a professional.
Nah.
He's a southern gentleman.
You think?
The problem is that someone from, like, Bergen County wasn't the tournament director for 30 years.
Yeah, but he's
right. Here at all.
Yeah, but he's retired now, so does he actually care, you think?
Yeah, because he's a southern gentleman.
Maybe he didn't retire on good terms.
Oh.
And he'd be, you know, ready to spill some dirt.
Pete, you know them guys better than us. They're not like that. They're wired differently than us, man.
Yeah.
They just, unless you're Mouth of the South, Jimmy, whatever, them wrestling guy. Mouth of the South, Jimmy.
Now you're going real old school.
Jimmy Hart. Mouth of the South,
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, that was Jimmy Hart.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Pete.
Mike, I know we were trying to get Matt on. I don't know if they're still... trying to get him figured out.
Yeah, we're trying to introduce him.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got, Pete? No, give it to him. What do you got?
I was going to say, if he's on and ready to go. But I have a top five list for Ike Live 2021. My highlights.
All right. Let's put a pin.
The Ike Live show.
Pete, let's put a pin in that.
Brian wants to put a pin at it. Let's get Matt on, and we'll
come
do that.
Back to that.
I'm so excited to have this guy on. Brian, I cannot believe we've had this podcast for how many years now?
Eight
years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we've had Matt on? Is that what you're telling me?
That's
incredible. I don't believe it.
Nine years? Dude, I think it's coming on nine.
Is it going on nine?
Yeah. You're looking at me like, I know. You didn't even have me on first year.
Have me on for
Dave was an afterthought.
Eight and a half.
Yeah. Dave was an afterthought. But I'm excited to get this guy on, BASS Elite Touring Pro, Toyota Pro, Matt Airy, joining us for the first time on Ike Live. Very excited to have Matt on. Matt, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing better than I deserve. I might be in the doghouse after this. I told Brian the other day when he texted me to come on the show, I said, you know what? I said, like you said a minute ago, I said, I've never had an opportunity to go on Ike Live, and I don't want to miss it. And I'm down here in Isla Mirada. Today's my wife's 41st birthday. We're celebrating 15 years of marriage.
Wow.
A little late anniversary present, a little trip that we took together. And I said, so if I get divorced after this, it's your fault.
Well, Matt. Right. Well, first,
I don't think we have a divorce yet on our list.
No, we don't. We have physical altercations. We do have a couple fist fights that we can claim, but not a divorce yet. So. Congratulations on that. I do understand that. Like, if I look and I keep up with people's social media, and you see a lot of touring pros, no matter what circuit, this time of the year, they're taking, like, these trips and these little getaways. And, you know, whether it's an anniversary or just – it's like the deep breath before the season starts. Do you feel like that a little bit, Matt? Like I look at the calendar and shit, it's like February already. We're almost at the St. John's. Do you feel like this is your last, like, deep breath of relaxation?
Oh, yeah, this is our last hurrah. I mean, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I can't fish 12 months out of the year. I have to release, and I have to kind of just kick back and change my entire approach to life. I mean, I got two little girls, and you got kids, as you know, and that's kind of what I dedicate my off season to, is my family. I love deer hunting, things like that too. Yeah. But I since our last event at the St. Lawrence there in New York, I probably went over 2 months without making a cast. And I'm just that type that I kind of need that release, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we've talked about it before on the show. But there are anglers in the off season that want to get away from it purposely, that leave it, and they feel like they're refreshed when they get back. And then there's other anglers that, like, are so obsessed they don't want to stop. You know, they keep competing, they keep fishing like every other day. So it's interesting that, you know, that difference there. But I want to say something real quick, which is, it's so funny, Matt. Last year I got to sit back and sort of watch. It was such a nice year for me, right? Because I got to watch MLF. I got to watch Bass. I got to watch you guys, and as a fan. And I had so many friends and people I know here in the circles of New Jersey saying, watching the Classic and watching the Elites last year, and saying, oh, man, yeah, you see this new guy, Matt Airey, this new Toyota guy? Oh, man, he's on fire. Where'd this guy come from? And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, bro, what are you talking about? do you get a little bit of that? It's shocking to me that people are finding you for the first time since you've been over at Bass, which has been since 2019. Do you get that a lot? Do people not realize that you've been fishing forever?
100%. I mean, when we got the invitation to come over during the split, that was one of the biggest reasons I made the decision, because, you know, and this, nothing against FLW or anything. This is not a stab or a jab or whatever, but, you know, I felt like my personal brand, you know, had kind of hit a ceiling, not hit a ceiling over there, so to speak, but I just wanted to reach more eyeballs. I wanted to reach a new fan base. And let's be honest, Bassmaster has the biggest fan base in the world, period. I mean, you cannot argue that.
Agreed.
And since I made that transition in 2019, it absolutely. I mean, I get that a lot. And of course, you know, after the Classic this year and just being on the Elite platform is really, it's helped me, helped my brand, helped my sponsorships. You know, it's been a blessing in disguise, because, you know, the first thing, I made a lot of calls when that first call made, and of course, talked to my wife first and foremost, and sponsors were the next, you know, the next people I reached out to. And I mean, I don't regret that decision one bit. And, hey, I mean, when you get a free pass to come over, who's not going to take that?
Yeah.
Well, I know one or two that didn't take it, but I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm going to say never say nothing bad.
That's true. I think a lot of people also didn't realize, and I don't even know if Brian Carpenter realized this. Did you know Matt won the FLW Cup back in 2000? Was it 5, 6, 7?
06, yeah. 06.
As a co-angler. Did you know that, Brian Carpenter?
I did not know.
How
that.
About that?
05, 06?
06.
06?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where was that, Matt?
It was at Logan Martin. And a funny story about that, because 2005, I hit the road as a co-angler on the FLW Tour. I figured that was my best opportunity to get out and get my feet wet a little bit, meet some guys. And I did it by myself. And, you know, I hit the road and just started kind of networking and met a few pros from North Carolina, Jeffrey Thomas, Chris Elliott, some guys. They're not even in the game anymore, but some guys that really helped kind of jumpstart my career and open my eyes to the world of professional bass fishing. And I came back in 2000 after the 2005 season back to Shelby, North Carolina. And I told a little fella by the name of Brian Thrift and Andy Montgomery, a couple guys back home. And I said, you know, I said, this was pretty cool. Y'all to hit the road with me next year. We all do this as a co-angler and travel together. They're like, yeah, I think we'll do that. Cause I knew they, you know, they were aspiring pros. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to chase that too. And we all three hit the road the next year, and we traveled together as co-anglers. And it's kind of funny because Andy won the co-angler of the year title that year. Him and I finished 1 and 2 in that Forest Wood Cup as co-anglers, and Thrift, of all people, he was leading the co-angler of the year points title after the first three events, and then he forgot to sign up for the fourth one in time and got on the waiting list. So he ended up not getting to fish like the fourth, fifth, and sixth event. I think it was only six events at that time. So because wow. Thrift didn't finish four, five, and six, is probably why Andy ended up winning the co-angler of the year. And then in turn, Thrift didn't make the cup either as a co-angler, and Andy and I went on to have good finishes in the cup. And that kind of jump-started all our careers because in 07, we all three were rookies in 07 on the FOW Tour.
Wow. That's amazing. That's an amazing story.
So what's up with Chris Elliott? Where's
well, I remember you know, Chris. Honestly, I remember yeah, Chris.
I remember him from something about Mary. He was Woogie.
What? Was, nah, that was the other Chris.
He had the ice
Chris.
Guy.
That's a different Chris.
Yeah,
right.
Come on.
That's not the same Chris.
What do you mean, come on? It's Woogie.
Yeah, the ice not the same guy.
He likes shoes?
No, but here's what I wanted to say. First of all, I wanted to say the only reason.
So he's good. Is what you're saying, Matt? He's good?
Woogie's he's good. Yeah, right. No. The only reason Brian Thrift didn't get in that tournament is he missed the registration because he had to go get a pack of cigarettes.
Oh.
And a sun drop.
Right. That's right. That's right.
It's fun. Hey, we fish those little Thursday night derbies every once in a while at the house there on a little lake called Moss Lake, and they're 3.5-hour derbies on Thursday night. Yes. We've been fishing them since we were teenagers, and he always wants to take my boat number one, which I'm like, whatever, you know, I don't fight it anymore. He doesn't like to get his boat dirty, so that's one thing. The second thing is he purposely leaves empty packs of Marlboro Lights and crushed sun drop bottles in my little trash compartment with my Ranger over there on the passenger side, and he like hides them. I swear he hides them on purpose in different places in my boat. If I did that to him, like he would lose it. He would absolutely lose it.
Yeah, he told me he fines you $10 for everyone you break off because you don't retie enough.
Actually, that's 100% correct. He does try to. He charges me if we win $100, which they don't pay. If you win the tournament, you win $200, right?
Yeah.
And he charges me $10 for breaking fish off. But every time he breaks one off, it was either my rod, so it's my fault, or he's got some lame excuse, you know, whatever, to save him $10. So.
Oh man, that's great. What I wanted to say is that story was great because what is in the water in that. Where you guys live. What's in the water there? Because, dude, draw a 100-mile radius around Shelby, North Carolina. And, dude, it's like, what the hell is in the water there that produces – I mean, you guys are hammerheads. Like, honestly, what is it? I need to know what is it. That's the first question.
old money? I don't know.
I don't know what it is. It's got to be something in the water. It's like iron or a mineral or something. And then take me back to what it was like – to fish in a club, a derb, you know, a get together with all those guys. Like, that's what I want to know. I'm trying to close my eyes and envision all you guys like battling out for $100 on a Thursday night.
I admire y'all, you know, you especially you're from Jersey. I mean, guys like Scott Martin, I was talking to him yesterday
Carpenter.
About this you know, guys from states like Florida and Jersey and, you know, Oregon or Brandon Polinick from Idaho. Those are the ones that I admire the most because we have an advantage with the diversity of fisheries and things like that in the Carolinas. And that helps hone our skills in a lot of different ways. We can become a little bit more versatile before we ever kind of jump in head first. But y'all are the ones that I admire because you come from a very
Fishing sucks up here, Matt.
What now?
Fishing sucks up here.
Yeah, it was better back in the 80s. So. Yeah, we come, no doubt
I'm
about
it. I'm not going to say fishing sucks, but you definitely don't have the options that we have in the Carolinas. And so y'all have to go out and kind of start from scratch and learn these fisheries, you know, from a whole different perspective. And that's what I really admire. But you ask what's in the water, I mean – sun drop, Marlboro Lights, and liver mush. That's the three keys right
there. Did you say liver mush?
Liver mush.
Liver mush.
What is that?
That's Scrapple.
Oh, really?
That's their version of Scrapple, I think.
Whoa.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
Lips and assholes?
No. Well, how do you describe it?
You don't. Ears. They don't put the ingredients on the label for a reason, but you just.
Okay.
We have a liver mush festival in Shelby, and it's kind of like Scrapple, I think that's what you said. Liver pudding. It comes in a block.
Liver pudding.
You slice it and fry it in a pan, and it's I love it.
I may have never ate Scrapple if they called that shit liver pudding up here. you know what I mean?
Scrapple's a little horrible. Bit of a sexier name.
Yeah, Scrapple
that.
Sounds like bacon.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody got in a fight just to get it on in a pan.
Yeah. But liver pudding, my God. Right? Like, could you think of a worse thing? Like, what would you call a steak? Like, you know, like, I don't even know, dude. I can't. Sorry.
I don't know.
Failed on that, but
I don't know.
Matt, I got to take objection to one thing. How do you let the Florida guys call it, like, have an aggrieved status with fishing?
Yeah,
like, they get to hook 100 fish in a day, and that they're going to all of a sudden, that one of those 100, they're not going to feel like the same fish when they go to South Carolina for a tournament? Get out of here. We can spend 12 hours on the water, spend $200 in gas, and not catch one, dude.
Catch 6.5
They're getting
pounds.
All them reps, and you're going to list them up here with the New Jersey and the Pennsylvania guys?
No, Scott's got good.
they only know, like, a speed worm and a big weight down here. I mean, that's it.
Yeah,
like,
but they get a 100.
They're not.
Or Senko. Yeah. That's it.
I'd say half of them guys, if they grew up in Jersey, would not like fishing.
They would have gotten to something else.
No, they'd have been in drag racing or something.
Yeah. Oh, they would have been teachers and freaking professors.
Graffiti artists. Mobsters. There's a lot of stuff up here. Let me remind you, if you're watching and listening right now, if you have a question for Matt, please chime through. Jake, we're going to be – you got some right now you want to pass through?
Yeah, I got
all right, what do you got?
The first one we're going to start in is the best crankbait for springtime because guys are already iced up and already thinking about spring.
Wow. All right, Matt, I'm throwing that one to you. Best crankbait for springtime.
Well, let's narrow it down to colors first. I like red or orange. I mean, I keep it pretty simple as far as my color selection. I keep it simple year round as far as my color selection. I don't get too crazy, but you know, I I tell you, I'll be without throwing some lame sponsor plug out there. I'm gonna talk about the little y'all gotta help me here. The little Berkeley bait that came out last year, little flat side.
Yeah, Fritz side. Heck yeah.
Thank you, the Fritz side.
Heck
Fritz,
yeah.
I said flat side. Fritz side. And you know, I'm not a Berkeley sponsored guy, but that's funny. That sucker just, I mean, everybody I know at our Loudon Teleco event last year, I think everybody in the field had one tied on, whether they tell you they did or not, but everybody was catching with that little dude. And I like just little homemade flat sides. You know, a lot of the guys in East Tennessee kind of turned me on to that young in my career, and a little flat side, homemade balsa bait. You know, I love that early spring. Just gets a lot of bites, catches big ones too.
Matt, thank you for answering that way, Matt, because I don't know who you're sponsored by, but I was waiting for you to tell us about some Livingston lure or something. Like, thank you for answering that way, dude. I appreciate it, man.
That is.
I'm not that guy.
Thank you.
Applaud that.
We have a little podcast called Let's Talk Fish, and we do a lot of educational interaction on that show, and that's one thing that we talked about at the very beginning of it. You know, we don't want to – I'm a Lunker Hunt guy. I've been with Lunker Hunt for a long time. They know how I feel about them. They know how I feel – you know, we're like a family, and I tell them all the time. I say, look, guys, you know, I'm not going to go out here and write a big article about some Strike King bait or something like that, but I'm not ever going to lie either, you know. So that's just the way I've – That's the way I've built my career and my reputation. I won't keep it that way.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. And here's the other thing real quick, Dave. We talked earlier about technology and the media and the coverage. Dude, I like the fact now, and I got to see it all last year. I sat back and watched all you guys fish. I like the fact that there are no secrets anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there are no secrets. Like, Lake Fork was a great one. And they just had a replay this morning on Bassmasters, one Lee Livesey won, because you actually got to see what dudes were throwing, right? And you got to see these big glide baits by these little companies that sell 100 baits a year, and, you know, you got to see
Tater Hog.
Yeah, Tater Hog, yeah, right. And you got to see, yeah, what color topwater is everybody throwing? A Bone Super Spook. Yep, the whole field had that topwater. You know what I mean? It was refreshing, and I think I like that bass fishing today – 20 years ago, dudes were lying, you know. But today, the way it's covered, you can't really lie. You know?
So let me ask you what he just answered and how he answered that, Mike. So, like, we go to a concert.
Yeah.
John, Brian, and I, we're watching the band and we're listening to the music. You're watching the lead man to see how he's interacting with the crowd.
Yeah.
And getting the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what – being honest like that.
Yeah.
Like, why are more guys not like that? Why does that obvious – snake oil in this industry so much, whereas not so much like what he just did, how he answered that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer. I'd like to hear Matt's opinion on that too, but I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to give you two reasons. You know, the one is, in our sport for years and years and years and years, it was always evil to give away secrets. It was something you didn't want to do. Like, guys were so guarded with stuff. Like, I remember when I was a co-angler, in the early 90s and mid 90s, dude, dudes were hiding shit. They wouldn't even pull out their rod until you got on a spot. It'd be 30 minutes left in tournament. They'd tie the lure off, and they're very secretive. So that was one. That's one reason. The other reason is, and this is our own fault, and this is something that has to change in a sport, which is we have let our sponsors get to a point where we're so scared, to be honest, that we're going to get fired, or we're going to get left go, or we're going to get replaced. That's sad when we're in that environment. And I'll be honest, that's not the sponsor's fault. That's our fault. That's our fault for accepting that from them, from signing that contract. You know what I mean? So
because as a regular Joe like I am, I'm less likely to buy anything the snake oil sells and way more likely to buy what he just did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like authentic display, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Authentic. And it's to me, it's one of the positives.
I mean, hell, you talk about hiding something. His best buddy.
Yeah.
Thrift.
Yeah.
Had the Manhattan Project he was hiding all the years in the chatterbait, dude. You know what I mean? That chatterbait was the Manhattan Project for fishing, dude. Come
right.
on.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Thrift's pretty good at hiding stuff, I can tell you that. And he's got more blue dots.
Oppenheimer.
He's got more blue dots than anybody I know. That's right. Another thing, too. You mentioned something about your podcast. I want to talk about that, change subjects a little bit. You've got a really good one. Let's Talk Fish. And your podcast has been around for a long time. How many years have you guys gone on?
I think we're going on 3 years. We've been on a little hiatus the past month and a half because we've been building out a new studio. But we'll be back in the studio here probably in the next week to one to two weeks to get back in the groove of things and getting cranked up for the season. But, yeah, and apologies to everybody that's been sending me messages. Where the hell have y'all been? I'm like, we're going to make it worth your while. We want a studio like Ike Live's got. We've been building it out. But I appreciate the kind words. But going on 3 years now, it's been a lot of fun. And Thrift is a little – we're kind of opposite personalities, but sometimes that works well, you know, when you do these things and y'all have kind of the same chemistry there. I mean, I've watched your show off and on for years and it's a cool atmosphere, cool setting and makes the viewers very comfortable and fun to interact with. And you know, engagement with the fans to me is the most entertaining part of it and the most satisfying part of it, to be able to answer questions. And you know, our sport, unlike a lot of the other professional sports out there, you know, you can't get on an NBA chat podcast and interact with LeBron James or something, you know. Yeah. And that's what's so cool about our sport, really is.
Yeah, super cool. And I looked at the comments, the podcast you've got on iTunes and you've got on all those things, and you can see the comments. You've got a great fan base that appreciate you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You could see it through the comments, which was really cool. I was reading through some of them. But let me, this is Ike Live, Matt. You got to be honest here, right? This is our one rule. That
I thought I was doing pretty good so far.
You're doing good.
Hey, you know, can I say something? If you're going to have an Ike Live studio, you can't be talking about that crankbait. You better talk about them people that are paying the bills, bro.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get Ike Live. Go get alcohol sponsors.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yes.
You have to be honest when I ask you this.
It's the only reason we still have a show, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. Me and Brian have been talking about this since COVID. It's like since COVID, there's been 2,000 fishing podcasts that have popped up, and like it almost to the and there's a couple new ones that are okay, but a lot of them are absolute junk. Does it piss you off a little bit that like all these new people are starting? And you got to be honest, because it pisses me and Brian off a little bit. We're like, what the hell?
Does it really
doing
piss you off
for 8 years? And all of a sudden, no, I wouldn't say pisses off, but it's like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Does it
when I get a guest on that just did something really cool, and we're like the 22nd person that's had them on, and they did that cool thing a week ago, and I couldn't get them on sooner.
Right.
And I'm like, damn it. And I, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it's a sign of times. But
I don't want to wreck Matt's question. I have a retort
for
that.
Do you have any anger or frustration about the other 3,000 podcasts?
And if you don't, lie and say you do.
It is what it is. I mean, I don't want to sound cliche and sit here and say, yeah, this guy pissed me off or this guy. Because, I think anything that helps grow the sport's a positive. And like I said, I hate to sound cliche, but there's several that started right there around the house not long after we got ours cranking. And it was kind of odd. But they do more local tournament information and regional stuff and things like that. But, you know, I've sampled about – I don't want to say all the ones out there. I'm sure there's still a bunch that I don't know about, but I've sampled a lot of them, and there's only three or four that I really, really, you know, listen to pretty religiously on the road. And yeah. And some of them, I mean, I'd be lying. There's one or two I listen just to see what kind of drama pops up each week. But, but the other ones are, you know, like y'all's is just more of a laid back kind of cover every little corner, and it talks about the industry a little bit, jokes a lot. You know, y'all are very diverse in that aspect, and that's, I really appreciate that from a podcast, because it's more entertaining to me, and it's of course it helps pass the time when we're driving 20 something hours cross country too. So
yeah. See, that Mikey wants longer shows, not shorter.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we were being sabotaged here.
Oh, I know it, but
it could be. Matt, I want to change topics, and I want to go to.
We're
this
changing
topic.
Already?
Yeah, I do want to change topics. Oh. I want to talk about something because I got a highlight on my notes here. And I want to start by saying, before I even bring this up, I was in this boat in my career many a times. I want to remind everybody, the year that Skeet Reese won the Bassmaster Classic, I lost by 6 ounces there.
Oh yeah.
The same year.
Same year.
In Pittsburgh, I lost the FLW Championship by 3 ounces to Greg Hackney.
That was a rough one.
So that's less than a pound. I've lost two championships in the same year. So I know that. So I'm asking you this question because I understand the classic that you came, the classic we just had, you came second. It was the most amazing thing, and I watched it, and you got great exposure, and I think a lot of people got to get introduced to you the first time. But you did have the winning fish on. You did, right? You had a fish on that talk about that, because, like, I hate to sound like a sore loser, but I still think about those lost fish that I had in events. The one that I lost to Skeet, I can think about a fish that threw a tube on me. That was the winning fish. At the Pittsburgh one, I lost a 12.5-inch smallmouth on a shaky head that threw me. I set the hook on a bridge piling, got halfway to the boat, and jumped 80 feet in the air and threw my shaky head. That was the winning fish.
Dude, knowing you, though, that was probably 11 3/4.
It was probably 11 3/4. Yeah, so maybe it wasn't. But do you think about those things? Does it haunt you, or are you the kind of guy like, you know what, that's that, keep going?
I was doing really good until you started talking about it again.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Now, and the reason I ask this is I need therapy, Matt. You got to be my therapist tonight. Help me deal with my loss.
You should have been the first one I called, because it haunts you a little bit. I mean, you know how it is, but it's luckily it happened to me when I was basically about 12 years deep into my career, and yeah. I had been fortunate to win a couple events over at FLW when I was there. And you know, I became a believer that, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. But, you know, yes, I had a couple opportunities that day, missed opportunities, but so did probably everybody else in the field. I mean, I know Kennedy lost like multiple giants, and you know, there were several guys that lost a lot of really big fish in that event, which we were dealing with high water and a lot of gnarly shoreline cover, and that's part of fishing like that, right? But
yeah.
You know, it's yes, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I haven't thought about it, I mean, no less than 100 times since June, you know. But
yeah.
Because that is truly a once in a lifetime opportunity to win a tournament of that caliber, and it's truly the biggest stage in our sport, and that's but you know what, I tell you what, a second place finish does it kind of rekindled a fire inside of me that hadn't been sparked in a few years, because I hadn't been able to close the door on an elite win yet since I came over, and had some close opportunities fishing a couple of those events too. And you know, I'm fired up, ready to go. I can't wait till the next classic, the next opportunity. And it just makes you want it even that much more. I mean, it really does.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I think loss and getting close and sniffing at it sometimes makes you want to get it even more, you know. So, and I agree with that. Like, I look back on it, and my, you know, the way that I'm consoled by my loss is, you know, I had the classic win, you know. So to
thank God, right?
Yeah, to miss right. a chance, you know. And you're early in your career, you know. So, you know, it's going to happen. You just got to keep fishing, and it'll happen.
But don't you think winners hate losing more than they like winning?
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. I think you have to have that. You have to have right. that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want to call it negative energy, but you have to have that burn. If you don't have to have that burn, that burn's not in there, you're like, you know, winning, who cares, you know. You know, kind of like Steve Kennedy's like that. But
General Patton said something like that. He said, give me a room full of winners, and if they're all dead, replace them with guys that hate losing. Okay. Yeah. Really? Yeah. He said something like that, dude. I might have messed it up. But.
That's probably
true. Well, you can hear it in your statement there, Matt. Like, the second place is causing you to burn. And that's the difference, right? That's the difference in the champions. They use that as motivation. And, Christ, you won almost $1 million over at FLW.
Yeah.
You know, so you're a seasoned veteran and you're crushing it. I rewatched that classic day, and what an amazing deal, man. What an amazing adjustment to change the color of the frog to get that done, man. That was insane. They were missing the other color.
Yeah, they were, and it slicked off that morning. There wasn't any movement in the water, and I was throwing a popping style frog before I switched to, and I went to more of a regular style and switched over to solid white. There had been a little bit of a shad spawn. I hadn't found that, but there was definitely some bait in the area I was fishing, and you know that typically during a shad spawn type deal, I'll stick with white colors, especially on frog, but. They were eating that popping frog really good earlier in the week, and it was just a bluegill colored popping frog. And but it's funny because nine times out of 10 frog fishing, you're just like, you know, if they're missing it, they're missing it. They're eating it. Sometimes a little color change doesn't make that big a difference, but it made a pretty big difference that day. I mean, they started choking it and they were missing the other one for whatever reason. So
that was fun to watch fishing open, almost kind of open water frog fishing, you know, fishing in on the outside edges of the bushes. It's just really cool for guys that fish frogs. You know, we always think mats, grass, but you know, you did it there in the classic, man. It was really, really wonderful video footage from Bassmasters too. Yeah, they got every single strike, you know?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was awesome. Let me remind, if you're watching and listening, if you've got a question for Matt Airy, please hit us up. Jake, what do you got? I know you got a few coming through. What do you got for him?
So I don't know if we can talk about this.
Oh, hold on a second. Go ahead, Brian.
There we are. I don't know if we can mention this, but there's a guy going to Hartwell. His name is Ryan Williams.
Yeah.
He wants a hot tip on where to go. He's going there soon.
Oh, he wants the tip.
He wants the tip.
Throw a Senko.
Oh yeah, we can give him a tip. Matt can't get any information, but we can give him a tip. Sure. When is he going?
He's going soon. Month.
Soon, yeah. A month.
He's
going to
be there during the classic.
Right during the classic.
He's good. Yeah, he wants to show up right at the classic, and he's going to follow guys around and see if he can catch them better than everybody else. Yes, we love those guys. No, honestly, a tip at Hartwell, I would say, you know, the backs of the.
Go to Sandy Cooper.
Go to Sandy Cooper. Yeah, don't stay at Hartwell. The only good tip I would have is I know that in the mornings. First thing in the morning, like when the sun comes up till about 8-9 o'clock, the herring are in the backs of the ditches, and they go back there like when it's dark. They get way in the back of those drains, and then as that sun comes up, you know, they're still back there, but they start to work their way back out. So you can go in the backs of those drains and ditches with like a fish head spin, a suspending jerk bait, you know, something like that, a metal blade bait, you know, and you can catch a lot of fish in the backs of the drains. I don't know. Matt, you got a tip for him for Hartwell this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you gave one of the best ones there is. I tell you, if you're going soon, you know, I was down there recently before the cutoff for the Classic, and the water was relatively, well, really unseasonably warm. It was still in the upper 50s, and fish were scattered really bad. They were anywhere from a foot to 40 feet deep, which is not uncommon for Hartwell. But, you know, if you get a little weather, that, to me, the lower third of that lake is relatively clear pretty much all over, and it fishes somewhat similar to some of the lakes around the house in that clear water. If you get the right conditions one day and you get a little front, you get a little wind, things like that, you can get on a pretty epic crankbait bite that time of year in that clean water. A lot of people are scared to throw a crankbait in super clear, gin clear water like that, but if you get the right conditions and a little bit of wind, you know, sun or clouds or a little mix of both. But if you get a little bit of wind and pick up a crankbait, and you can get some good bites and catch some big ones that way too. And there was a little bit, I mean, I'm not scared to say anything about what I found down there, because it's going to change a lot in March anyway. Yeah. I didn't do much fishing, did more riding. But I had some wind. The first day I was down there, it was nasty. It was chilly, but the water was still in the upper 50s, and caught quite a few, you know, decent fish throwing a crankbait around. So, and that was on the lower third of the lake. But yeah, if he's going out there soon, I'd put a crankbait in my hand, cover water, unless you get bluebird skies and no wind, and then you're going to be it's just going to be tough. I'll just be honest with you.
So good luck. Yeah. What else you got, Jake?
You're going to be close here. You're going to be fishing Russell during the Classic, right?
I will. Yeah. You guys will be up on Hartwell fishing the actual Classic, and I'm going to be fishing the Kayak Classic.
That's crazy.
Down on Russell. So.
That's crazy. That's how you know this isn't really real life anymore.
No, it's not real life.
No. Like I can at least fish in the Kayak Classic during the Classic. This is all fake.
It's the 1,000%.
Does that count as like actually making a Classic?
It does count as a Classic, yeah.
So you make it like next year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just keep it going.
Hey, dude, it's a tournament. I want to win.
Oh yeah.
It's a bank fishing tournament. I want to win it.
Matt, I got a question. Have you thrown the BTC?
The Brian Thrift crankbait?
Oh, that's what he says it's called.
Brian the Carpenter crankbait.
The BTC?
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Yeah, I've thrown it a little bit. I ain't caught a damn thing on it. No, I'm kidding. It's a legit little dude. I've actually caught a few fish.
The bill's loose.
I witnessed Thrift catch him on it, too, so.
Bill's loose. The hooks are dull. No troubles.
Just swim backwards.
Do the bills snap off like Pete's Silent Killer?
It actually smokes the in eye. The water, a little thing of smoke.
The eye is rectangular.
Paint chips in the wake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The paint job's great on it. They even gave it an anus and everything on the paint job.
You slap the BTC crankbait once in the water to get the grass.
All that's left is the line tie.
Are we busting on Brian Thrift or me right now?
Yeah. On you!
Just so everybody knows, Brian Thrift, just so you know, this is all directed at me.
Sorry, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for this.
Not to Miki or your crankbait, Brian.
All right, I got...
We like to call it Speckle Gray.
Speckle...
Brian the Carpenter.
Yeah. That's fucking funny.
All right,
Spackle. Yeah, spackle you spackle gray. In the spring.
I think Brian needs
and then
to
a year later, and then a year later, rust.
Oh my God!
By the way, I fished like three times both them dudes combined. Maybe five times both them combined.
Yeah.
But look at them go.
No, you fish way more than they did. They don't deserve to be laughing.
They're like the two old guys from the Muppets that sat up on the balcony.
I know. Hypocrites sitting up in the balcony, throwing stones.
The sweetest fish.
Exactly. Yeah. Swedish fish off the balcony.
All right, I can see.
All right, I got a question coming from Matt from our Instagram account. This is from Derek Forcheck, and Derek wants to know, Matt, is it true your nickname is Pickles?
No.
Oh. It's not.
When we first started LTF, when we first started Let's Talk Fish 3 years ago or whatever, and they were talking about nicknames. All of a sudden, somebody just said, "Well, y'all got to have nicknames, you know, because, you know, Smoke, Thrift Smoke. Nobody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Nickname is Smoke. It's always been Smoke. So then they were like, well, we're going to vote on nicknames. So everybody started sending in, and for whatever reason, why, I don't know, but Pickles is the one that actually won the little nickname tournament there. And, as far as the LTF viewers are concerned, they call me Pickles.
Gotcha.
Let's change his nickname right now to Truth.
Truth.
Yeah. Matt Truth Berry, man.
I'll take that over Pickles any day.
Yeah. Truth's a cooler name.
Yeah, get rid of Pickles. Whoever gave you that. Don't let people do
Truth
that.
Truth like, sounds like a street name. It could be like a rapping
dude, that's
B-boy
an NBA name. When you walk onto the court.
An NBA name.
That's an NBA
name
when you walk onto the freaking court.
Yeah, the Truth.
Right? He's got legit game.
Yeah.
That's the Truth.
Wow. Yeah.
The Truth, the answer.
That's what that is.
Wow. Well, if that ends up taking off, you got to give Dave like a 0.3% royalty on
that. I don't need nothing like that, man.
Nah.
Matt, just free worms.
Are we done with fishing with him? Can I ask him something outside of fishing?
Of course you can. Right.
So, Matt, you said you would like to unwind, get rid of fishing. Like, what do you do? What do you do when you're not fishing?
I spend a lot of time in a tree, honestly. I'm a big bow hunter, and I love to bow hunt. But other than bow hunting, it's family time for me. You know, I got two young girls, 9 and 4, and I spend a lot of time with them. We're down here in Isla Mirada with just my wife and I, and this is the maybe the second trip in like 5 years that we've taken without the kids. So,
wow, that's awesome.
This is a rare occurrence for us. But most of my downtime is spent in the off season hunting. You know, obviously prepping for the following season, but then spending as much time with those girls as I can.
Yeah. So I don't hunt. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, you're up.
So I don't hunt. I don't hunt, Matt. But I need you to help me out with something. I follow alternative news, right? Now,
unfortunately,
in the Carolinas, are you guys like when you get your deer, are you getting it tested for chronic wasting disease? Do you even know what that is?
Yeah, CWD. I mean, we're aware of it. We've had some EHD, some hemorrhagic disease, what they call blue tongue.
Yeah.
It's different than CWD, but we've had very few cases, if any, in my immediate area in the whole state. And that they put limitations on transporting wild game across state lines now because of CWD's spread of CWD. But we don't have that issue in the Carolinas that I'm aware of at all, really.
What I'm following now is this guy from Montana is talking about all the game up there being just riddled with it. And this is meat that doesn't affect you immediately.
Right.
If you have a 10-year-old that eats the meat, 25 years later, he's getting the effects of this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. Correct me if you hear something different.
Oh, no, I have not heard that, and I didn't know that. I did not know that that was an issue that can be passed on to humans, and I sure hadn't heard about it 25 years later. But where'd you say your source was from?
That's what I'm going to say. Anyone looking for the source, it's Can-Am Missing Project. The author's name is Dave Politis. It's on YouTube, Can-Am Missing Project.
All right. Dave also watches Sasquatch Chronicles. And...
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds reliable. I don't know.
No, go listen to what he has to say. He's a retired Sacramento police officer who investigates missing people in state parks, the thousands of missing people that just – every year vanish in state parks and no one knows what happened to them.
Huh.
It's very intriguing stuff to watch, but he's also talking about things that no one else is talking about, like this chronic wasting disease.
Yeah.
And zero.
I'm
going to
check it out. You sparked my curiosity, so I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, Can-Am Missing Project, Dave Politis.
Politis.
Yep.
Dave Politis it is.
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
Where are we at? Is that website or YouTube?
The website.
Oh, yeah. So Wayne Morris wants to know, and this is a question for Mike, Pete, Matt, as a co-angler.
Not so much John or Dave.
No, definitely not. Well, Dave, you, yeah.
As a co-angler.
Everybody. As a co-angler, smoking on a boat.
Yeah. Oh, smoking on a boat.
Yeah, what's the?
Yeah, I
can I smoke?
Yeah.
Is basically what Wayne's saying. Can I smoke?
I don't have a problem with it. Like I've been in.
So how does an aspiring smoker approach the situation?
I think the correct thing to do as a co-angler would be to say, "Do you mind if I smoke in your boat?" I have co-anglers ask me that, and I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know.
Matt.
Same. Hey, I'll go ahead, Pete.
No, I just same. I just I've seen where I've had this happen where they're embers. Burn big holes in the carpet or something like that. So, I don't ever stop them. I just bring it to their attention. I said, yeah, just don't burn us out. And I don't mind.
So in my very short experience, I found that if like you have a young guy, it's okay. But like Pete said, if you get an old guy from Georgia, he's going to have like a 40 millimeter ash hanging off the end of it.
An old guy from Georgia.
Yeah, you're just waiting for it to fall on your seat and singe you. No, I've seen that.
He's smoking one and he's already lighting the other one.
Yeah, the end of it looks like an ugly stick. It's like hanging off the cigarette.
So if he's a Senko guy, he's probably not paying attention to his cigarette.
It just reminds me of getting yelled at by my dad when I smell the smoke. You know what I mean? I never said no to nobody.
Worse for me is chewing tobacco. Like it's nasty. I remember I was talking to Woo Daves in his boat, and I was coming over to his boat. We were on the the launch ramp, and I'm leaning on his boat, and I'm just talking to him, and he chews tobacco like all day, every day. And I go to walk away, and I'm stuck to the boat.
The woo-shoo. What, he spit on your foot like Jesse Ventura did to that guy on the helicopter ride in Predator? Remember that? Spit it right on his foot. Remember that?
No.
I'd rather somebody smoke than chew tobacco, because I used to fish with a buddy of mine. We fished team tournaments together, and he chewed straight up Red Man chew. And there would be a a brown stain in the whole rim of the back top of my Ranger on the back deck would be just splotched brown. And I'm like, dude, can you not? His name, I'm not going to say his name, but is it that hard to lean over the side and spit? And he's one of them guys that when he spit, it would run down right here.
Oh, yeah.
It would be everywhere. And that's, I didn't want to have to ever clean that up again. That was nasty.
It eventually affects the way they talk, you know, like their lip gets deformed. Like it has a weird like cup in it. Their teeth, the bottom teeth, you can see more of them than you can the top because it recedes the gums. Like, I don't know why you would do that. I'd rather just smoke a cigarette.
I don't know.
People love it, man.
They do love it.
People seem to really like it.
People seem to love this.
Sorry for you guy. What am I even talking about?
All right, so then we covered
18 hours
that.
In the boat. I mean, driving down to Florida with Pep, and he's spitting. It's like a rap song for 18 hours. Like,
oh yeah, the sound.
Yeah, because when you talk,
it's got a rhythm to it.
Because when you talk to them, they'll be like, and then I told that dude. You know, and then they'll finish the thing. You know, they'll stop at mid-sentence to get it out.
It's a beat.
When I worked up north, I worked with guys that did that. Like northwestern New Jersey, they chewed the shit out of that, dude.
That's crazy. Okay. I don't know. Matt, we're going to let you go here. We know we appreciate
it's
your wife.
Birthday.
Tell your
wife
we appreciate your wife for carving out some time for us. I do want to ask you one last question. 2022 elite season's coming up. Do you have one event that you're looking forward to the most out of the whole schedule?
Yeah, and that's easy for me. Am I saying this right, Mike? Oahe.
You're saying it right. Correct. That's correct. Oahe.
Okay. Yeah. So and the reason is just because it's a place I've never been, and you know as a fisherman I am always curious to go to new venues and you know that is a place I've never been to. I've heard really cool things about it. I've never been to North or South Dakota. So it'll be a new adventure for me, and I always look forward to new places.
Hey, yeah. Matt, nobody's been to North or South Dakota.
South Dakota, South Dakota's governor's a smoke show, dude. Christy Noem.
Oh, she's pretty hot. Right,
well, is she really?
No doubt,
oh, she's a smoke show.
Maybe she'll come to the tournament.
How do you spell that?
N-O-E-M, Christy Noem.
Wow. Right,
look that up later. Wow.
Matt, we appreciate you coming on the show. Dude, it was great having you on. Will you come on again after you win one of these things?
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all having me, man. I've had a blast.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. And have a good remainder of your vacation down in Florida.
I tell your wife thank you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Will do. I will do. See y'all soon. Thanks.
Later, dude. Matt Airy, everybody. Yes.
Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Pete.
Mike, I would like to invite everybody to come see the truth at the Bass University.
Oh, that's right. Matt's speaking with us. What are, off the top of your head, do you know what topics he's talking about?
Truth.
He's going to be speaking
truth
the
stuff.
Truth. You're right.
He's speaking truth.
Yeah, all things true.
The underspins, which kind of relates to how to catch fish, but he's got a really cool underspin that he designed. And he's also going to be tackling when things get tough.
Every day in New Jersey.
Every day, all the Jersey people need to watch. So January 23rd, go over to thebassuniversity.com, get yourself signed up. The truth.
Yeah, the truth.
We'll be speaking the truth.
I like it.
That's a way better nickname than Pickles.
If any of these guys want nicknames, they can reach out to me.
I'm
on Telegram at Dave Brodzik. That's it. That's
Ty, can you put that up on the screen a little later in the show?
That's the only place you can find them.
Yeah, it's all in place on that. I used to be on Parler, then that got shut down and never came back on.
The thing is, when you sign up for Telegram, though, you get like bugs and viruses.
Nah, you don't.
And
you can get it off the Play Store. You're fine.
Really?
Don't never download the European version. That's when you get into it.
Oh, okay. That's what I tried to do.
You know what's crazy? I got a freaking text message the other day saying that Donald Trump has his new...
Truth Social.
How do I get a text message about that stuff, though?
You probably called
Dave signed you up for it.
You probably have him as a contact in your phone.
Let me tell you what that's like. This pisses me off to no end.
Yes.
So, I don't know, like my last iPhone or something I got, right? Apple, you know, so I get the iPhone and I'm like, I had to get my music transferred. And I transferred my music from my old iPhone to my new one. So
let me
I
get my music my, and viruses.
Yeah, so I got all my music transferred over. So then, you know, it's Apple Music or whatever, the iTunes or whatever. So then I like... go and I'm like, cool, I got all my music. I plug in my phone, I'm driving, and I'm listening, and I know every song that's on there because there are albums and bands that I like and songs I like. And all of a sudden, driving, you know what I'm going to say? All of a sudden, dude, a U2.
Oh, my God, the Bono U2 song.
Starts playing. And I'm like,
that's a few years ago.
A few years ago, yeah, dude. I perk up and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah. No,
they fucking didn't.
Deep state.
Sure as shit. There's YouTube down automatically download it on my phone. I wanted to kill YouTube. Bono. I wanted to strangle him.
The globalists.
No. Apple actually has something going on with YouTube.
It's right? crap.
And they load their music onto the freaking Apple phone before you even get it.
Can we make fun of YouTube people? You want to do that? Because I never understood.
I have no
that
problems
band.
With that, man.
I never understood YouTube.
Every girl that I ever met that likes YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? It's freaking a disaster.
Any girl I ever met, that I like you too, didn't want to talk to me after the second sentence.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What is it all about? Guy can't fucking sing. The only good part about that band is actually the guitarist.
Dude, it is the walk-in music to a suicide.
You too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. If I was going to kill myself, I would walk into that room to you too.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to debate it, but let's probably...
Let's move on. But
I think you're all right, and I agree. But
you're right.
Move
but that's
on.
What it reminds me of. Let me thank you guys for watching the show. We have one
that's
more
it.
Segment left. We're gonna take a break. We're still pretty good on time. I like this.
Yeah.
Hour.
Yeah. Look at that. We got fake time restrictions.
No, I know we have fake
people
time
that aren't watching the show.
But listen to me. The third segment's coming up, and we got some special stuff happening. We have a special in studio guest appearance from Dem Belmar Boys, and then we're also going to be doing a MTB unboxing. John, you're going to help us with this unboxing
tonight.
I'm
pretty good at that stuff.
And Pete, here's the best thing of all. In this third segment, we're going to be taking live Zoom callers, live Zoom guests. We're going to be giving away prizes.
Yes.
I can't wait
matters.
For this. This is going to be a good one.
Yep.
Let's take a break.
Brian,
ready
can you
this?
Kick like cable 4 or something?
What is it?
Can you kick cable 4 loose that you won't know how to put back in?
Don't listen to Dave. All right.
So Valdez is coming?
I don't know. We'll
I have
see.
No idea.
All right. Hang in there. When we come back, more of Ike Live. Yes. All right, Dave.
All I got to say is stop there it goes.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature.
Conservation,
ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend, and the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? a beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. Now, I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines. October 2016, featured article, 4 places to throw a frog, exclusive decals, zombie bass, and how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
It's more than who you are. It's who you're with. And it's more than what you do. It's where you do it. Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey.
John, get out of the camera.